been assured that National Treasury is almost ready to present very soon to us the first quarter report of this year. And that will be very fresh. But what we'll do is that some of the issues that we will see in this fourth quarter report, we can then trace them into, because it may well be that there have been a lot of improvements in the first quarter already that we may not be aware of. But we will pick them up when we do that first quarter report. Welcome. Who's going to lead you? You will introduce your team, and then we are in your heads.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. This committee room, I don't know if it is it designed for the members to hide from the officials or for the officials to hide from the members. I hope you'll be able to see all of us. Let me just start by apologizing. The DDG, Don Domibichani, was on the 11 o'clock flight, so he hopes to join us as soon as he gets here. But we're the public finance team. I'm Julie Devrain. I do the Department of Higher Education, Basic Education, Labor, Arts, and Sports.
Good morning, honourable members. My name is Marissa Moore. I am responsible for overseeing the Departments of Transport, Human Settlements, Water Affairs, Energy, Telecommunications, and COPTA.
Good morning, Mark Fletcher. I deal with Health and Social Development.
Afternoon, honourable members. I'm responsible for agriculture and minerals.
Good afternoon. I'm Nogumela Lokadere from Justice and Protection Services, working with police, but also representing Defence, Justice, and Correctional Services.
Good afternoon, members. I'm George Tembo from Administrative Services. There are 12 departments in my our chief directorate. I won't be able to name all of them.
So, honourable members, I will take you through the presentation, which basically covers the general overview, and then you have the report for each individual department. If you have any questions, either on the presentation or on the report for each individual department, please feel free to ask us any questions. We are representing all the national departments today. So if I can just start, if you take the cumulative revenue and expenditure for the last financial year, main budget revenue was estimated to have been 968.3 billion rand. Total expenditure to the end of 2014-15 was 1.132 trillion, implying a budget deficit of 167.8 billion for 2014-15. And you can see in the graph that the deficit went along as the quarters cumulatively getting us to the end of the 167.8 at the end of the fourth quarter. In the way that the National Revenue Fund is structured, 44% of total expenditure at the national level was for direct charges against the National Revenue Fund. And that includes the provincial equitable share, which is 32% of that, at 362.5 billion and 114.8 billion to pay state debt costs is also part of the direct charges. Other smaller amounts in there, as you know, is magistrate salaries, CETA transfers, and things like that, but they are smaller amounts. If you take the state debt costs, and we look at that over a four-year period, then you will note both in actual monetary terms as well as in percent, state debt costs as have been increasing from roughly just under about 60 billion in 2011-12 up to 114.8 at the end of 2014-15. That's even a large increase from last year, or 14%. So when I think we did the appropriation bill presentation, that's one of the fastest growing items in the appropriation bill on state debt costs. It's also starting to represent quite a large share of total expenditure, and it's standing now at 10.1%. And it's also an increase in the proportion of expenditure spent servicing debt from the previous years. In terms of budget expenditure, so if you take off the direct charges, then you're left with budget expenditure. Budget expenditure was 625.9 billion. And of that 625.9 billion, 69%, or 428.8 billion, was transferred by departments either to households, other spheres of government, or organizations, or organizations and agencies. And 30%, or 192 billion, was spent directly by departments on operations. The majority of that amount is for compensation of employees. So if you look at the pie chart, you can see that compensation takes up quite a large proportion, and next is goods and services, and payments for capital assets at the national level is quite small. If we look at operations, so operational expenditure increased compared to the same period in the previous financial year by 8.7 billion, so a nominal growth of 4.7%. Of that, 119.9 billion was spent on compensation of employees, representing 62% of the operational expenditure. It was a nominal growth of 7% from the previous year, and at the national level, most of compensation of employees goes on police, defense, and correctional services. Continuing with operations, 40.2 billion was spent on goods and services. So if we link that to the OCPO's presentation this morning, then what the chair was asking is, can we give you more information on that in the going forward? So it would be focusing on that, more or less that amount of money. At the national level, mainly spent on equipment for police, defense, correctional service, and justice services. And it only increased by a nominal amount of 0.6% if you compare it with last year. So continuing with operations, 15.5 billion was spent on capital assets, representing an increase of 9.7% on the previous year, and the largest portions of capital at the national level or under the Departments of Water and Sanitation and Police, mainly for regional bulk infrastructure in terms of water and then the building and upgrading of police stations in police. And the increase of the 9.7 was mainly driven by better spending on the school infrastructure backlog. I think the committee will remember last year you called CBE and tried to come and explain why the expenditure is running a little behind. They only spent 71% last year, but this year they're up to 97%. So a large amount of that increase is driven by the extra billion that they spent this year. And then just looking at a picture across the board of operations over a number of departments, the expenditure is on the right hand, on the left hand side, and the percentage growth increases on the left hand side. And you can see they are varying departments. Some have got decreases, others have got big increases. If there's anything in particular that you want to know of what is causing that, those will be the questions you can tap into to us later. If we go on to administration, 40 billion was spent on administration, representing 21% of operational expenditure, primarily to support police, correctional services, and defense. It's a nominal decrease of 3.1 billion from the previous year, so we spent less on administration than we did in the previous financial year. But some departments, and these are related specifically to the way they construct their budget, the Department of Women, Human Settlements, Economic Development and Public Enterprises spent 68%, 68%, 65% and 62% of their operational expenditure on administration. Then in terms of transfers, a total of 428.8 billion was transferred by departments, representing a nominal growth of 8.6%. And the largest share of that transfer of 131.8 was transferred to households, representing a growth of 10%, and this is primarily for social grant payments. And the social grant payments increase is driven by increases in beneficiary numbers as well as slightly above inflation increases to the actual value of the social grant. 160.3 billion was transferred to provinces and municipalities, representing an increase of 7%. And here the big items are the local government equitable share transfer that you will find in COCTA. The health grants, including those for HIV and AIDS and national tertiary services. On the health vote, the human settlement development grant and the human settlement. 72.9 billion was transferred to departmental agencies and accounts, representing an 8% increase on last year. And agencies receiving the largest sums of that 72.9 was the South African National Roads Agency of 11.9 billion, the South African Revenue Service 8.6 billion, the South African Social Security Agency 6.5 billion for the administration of the social assistance, and then the National Student Financial Aid Scheme 6.1 billion for student loans and bursaries. Still under transfers, 24.5 billion was transferred to higher education institutions, representing an increase of 8%, and the majority being for the block grants to universities. 32.1 billion was transferred to public corporations and public enterprises, and private enterprises, representing an increase of 15%, and the main expenditure item there was primarily under the Passenger Rail Agency of South Africa for the rolling stock seat renewal program. Then again, we put the departments up again to give you a global picture. You can see the expenditure is on the left-hand side, the percentage increase or decrease is on the right-hand side, and again, there's a variation across the departments, some recording negative changes and others recording large positive changes. Again, the committee is free to inquire from us how that has occurred. Then if we take expenditure against available budget, the actual expenditure, as you can see, is well within the total budget amount. There's only one department that did not meet that requirement, and that is the Department of Transport. It has spent over and above its scheduled drawings by an amount of 376.6 million. And that is mainly due to costs related to managing the e-natives, as well as additional transfers to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. Otherwise, there are small under-expenditures and large under-expenditures. The five departments that have the largest lags are listed in the table, both in terms of actual amount as well as percentage unspent, and that's the departments of COCTA, Health, Social Development, Energy, and Water Affairs. So these departments roughly represent 82% of the total lag. So some departments have got very small, others have spent 100%. So going through those five, COCTA's expenditure lags the available budget by 4 billion, and this is mainly due to the withholding of the equitable share grants from some municipalities which did not perform according to the Division of Revenue Act requirements. Along with that, they've also been lower than expected payments for the disaster relief grant. For water and sanitation, expenditure lags the available budget by 2.1 billion. This is mainly due to underspending on the regional bulk infrastructure grant of 637.4 million and the sanitation program of 484.5 million. The slow spending is mainly attributed to slow appointments of contractors and delays due to late deliveries and bad weather. In the Department of Energy, expenditure lags the available budget by 1.2 billion, and this is mainly attributed to the termination of the contract with ESCOM for the solar water heater project. Then health and social development. In health, expenditure lags the available budget by 745.9 million. This is mainly attributed to slow spending in the National Health Insurance and Health Facility Revitalization components of the National Health Grant. There's more detail in the actual health chapter in our document. And in social development, expenditure lags the available budget by 826.4 million, and this is mainly attributed to lower than projected spending on social grants, particularly the foster care grants, which saw a higher than projected number of beneficiaries falling off the system in January due to age disqualification. So in conclusion, Chair and Honourable Members, for the 2014-15 expenditure by National Department, we have a budget deficit of 167.8 billion. 114.8 billion was spent on state debt costs. A total increase in voted expenditure of 43.3 billion or 4.7% when compared to 2013-14. Operational expenditure increased by 9.5 billion or 7.4%, and of that, compensation of employees increased by 7.7 billion or 7%. Expenditure on goods and services, however, decreased by 351 million or 0.6%. And funds transferred either to other spheres of government or to agencies or to households increased by 34.1 billion or 8.7%. And on average, the total expenditure is within the total budget amount for 2014-15. Thank you.
The solar water geyser program was introduced on the President's announcement of 1 million households to be served in 2011. The program did not perform very well, and there's been reductions in the baseline because of that non-performance. The Department of Energy went to Cabinet earlier this year to announce that they will shift the program away from ESCOM as the managing agent for the program and manage the program from within the Department of Transport, Department of Energy, and they have approached the Treasury's technical assistance unit to help them set up the program so that it can be restarted. And the underspending was money that was not transferred, there was also money unspent in Eskom that will have to be deposited back into the National Revenue Fund.
Okay. Honourable members, that's the presentation. Let me now allow you the opportunity to make your comments and questions. I know, Honourable Sheikh Imam, you have to leave soon, so we'll start with you. Who wants to follow? Honourable McLaughlin, you follow Honourable Sheikh, Honourable myself, in that order. I'll take hands as we go if other members want to come. You can start, Honourable Sheikh Imam.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for your presentation. Let me start off asking, I see you spent money you didn't have. I don't know where you found it from, but if you can just elaborate and tell us where you got all that money from to spend. I also see that, I thought there was an understanding that we are trying to reduce the debt and in essence try so that it reduces our debt costs that we need to be paying, but I don't see that happening. It sounds like we seems to be continuously now increasing, so I don't know. I thought that that was generally the understanding that we had. I think the other point is in terms of frequency, the police, that would be fine. I'd like a little bit more explanation on the issue of the regional bulk infrastructure and the issue on where you say the largest of the capital spend under the Department of Water and Sanitation. I'd just like you to tell us, give us a little bit more information on that one and where exactly that is happening. My concern is that I see the Department of Women, Human Settlement, Economic Union, and I have a serious challenge there. I don't really understand why and what has happened, because I thought there's a lot of emphasis in terms of them. We also talk about the social grants. I'd like to know what was the challenge then and why was this thing reduced? The demand for that, you say it's to do with something to do with the age, and I'm not quite sure what the challenges are there with regards to that. If you could just tell us what was going on. Also, which municipalities or which departments have underspent, which is resulting in 4 billion rand equitable share grants of some which we did not perform according to DORA. If you could just tell us which ones these are so that we know which ones we should actually be attending to and trying to find a solution to that. And the regional bulk infrastructure underspending also in where was this and which areas, because I am of the opinion we now have a very good minister in water and sanitation, so I'd like to see what are the challenges our minister is facing there so that we could actually address. That's the last one I was talking about, that age disqualification. You can just tell us what is this actually happening there. Thank you.
Honorable
Mr. Lovett.
Thank you, Chair. Take notes, because I'll take all the comments and then you respond.
Forgive me if I ask questions that seem obvious to you, but I'm not an accountant or an economist, and I don't deal with these things every day. But if we say, as you said here, that there's a budget deficit of 167.8 billion, that would say to me that we spent more than what we budgeted for. And yet in the same breath, you tell us that the expenditure is well within what we budgeted for. It seems contradictory to me. Perhaps you would just explain to me how it works. Did we actually budget for this deficit? And if so, why did we budget for a deficit? That's sort of checking in advance. We don't have enough money, or we don't expect to get in enough money for what we expect to spend, so we'll budget for a deficit, but then we must surely budget somehow as to how we're going to fund that. And that's my colleague said, please tell us why it was necessary to do that. And I should imagine that's the reason why our state debt costs are increasing, because we've probably borrowed it. On slide 3, you say 44% of total expenditure 14-15 was for direct charges. Could you just tell us how that compares with an average over previous years? Are we higher? Are we lower? I see in some respects we're higher, but we're not addressed on all the issues, so I'm not quite sure where we are exactly in that. Please explain what is meant by households. My understanding of households and yours may be very different. When you say you transfer funds to departments and the departments transfer them to households, my household certainly doesn't get anything from any department, but obviously we're talking a different language. Slide number 8. The largest portion of the capital spend under the departments of water, sanitation and police, mainly for regional bulk infrastructure and the building and upgrading police stations respectively. Is that underspending on what was actually transferred or on what was budgeted for? Because there might be a discrepancy between the actual transfer and the amount that was actually budgeted for. In addition, I read recently what a wonderful job our Minister of Water and Sanitation is doing. The figures don't seem to reflect that, because her department seems to be hopelessly inadequate when it comes to spending money, and that's obviously a grave concern. The third department addresses one of the major issues in our country, the provision of water to people, which is really basic and really important, and this is a serious concern. Slide 9. What are we actually looking at here? What is this expenditure? It just says operations. And I see that the highest one on that particular line is police. But what is it? What was this? Is this administration? Is this salary? Is it total expenditure on their budgets? I'm not sure what it is. It doesn't tell us. It just gives us some figures and some headings, but it doesn't tell us what we're actually looking at. The heading at the top says operations. What exactly is that? Is this their operational budget? And if that's the case, why is police so high compared to something like, where did I see it, cooperative governance? Because, I mean, surely that, cooperative governance in traditional affairs is where service delivery happens. That is the nation's relationship with government, is at local government level, at municipal level, and yet police seem to get all the money and municipalities get very little. In that particular respect. I also had a concern about the statement that the Departments of Women, Human Settlements, Economic Development, and Public Enterprises spend 68%, 68%, 65%, and 62% of the operational expenditure on administration respectively. Is that high or is it low in compared to what you expect? Because if you're spending so much of your operational budget on administration, what does the rest get spent on? Is this good or bad? Surely, I just want to get some kind of comparison, understand what it is we're actually looking at, because it looks alarming when I see this, because administration seems to be ticking the boxes and writing up the books and that kind of thing. Is anybody actually doing the job? Is that department there to do? Is anybody addressing that issue? What service is this department delivering, and why are we spending so much money on administering it, but it's not actually being done, if my understanding is correct? Again, in slide 11, we're told about how much money was transferred to households. If we could just same question as before, what do we understand by households? Again, then I see in slide 11, we're transferring money to public corporations. And then there's also, in the next slide, we're transferring money to private enterprises. Public corporations and private enterprises. Maybe you should just explain to us why are we transferring money to private enterprises and public corporations? It's just a lack of understanding on my part as to what's actually happening there. Then we say increased primarily under the Advantage Rail Agency, so that's for the Rolling Stock Fleet Renewal Program. Was that not a budgeted thing? Did they not budget for their fleet renewal and the locomotives and the 600 trains? Wasn't it budgeted for? Was the budget line increased over the period that this thing has been busy? Is it because of failure to forward buy on the Forex or whatever it might have been? Can we just have some explanation as to why these things happen? It's all very well just making the statements, but we're also interested into why it gets like that. Slide 16. You say there that this is mainly due to costs related to managing e-matters and additional transfers. As far as I know, the department and eNATIS went to court with each other. And eNATIS actually had to take the department back to court about 8 times before the department would actually agree to pay them what the court originally ordered. This cost a huge amount of money. And they're currently paying up something like 40 million rand a month off on the court order in the debt they owe, according to the court order. Is this what we're talking about here? Because to say that it's managing eNATIS is a little bit nice to them, isn't it? It's not really being truthful about the situation. Is that what we're talking about? Because it's pretty much the amount that we're talking about. The drawings of 376 is about what they went over budget. And I suspect that it's that amount of money that we're talking about. Again, slide 17 indicates again that it's water affairs and energy that are the ones that are slipping up expenditure-wise. That's where we have our greatest problems. Eskom and the provision of water, and yet they're not spending their budgets. This is scary. Are you doing anything to address this? I know from National Treasury, it's not really your job to go and police it all and so on. You're reporting to us what the spend is like, but is any action being taken to try and find out why this is happening? That's surely a grave concern to all of us. Slide 19. Slow appointment of contractors and delays due to late deliveries and bad weather. Now that all looks to me like human error. Are we addressing the human error? It shouldn't take long to appoint a contract. There must be a reason why that happens. There must be a reason why there are late delays or late deliveries. Are we not paying people on time? Is there some sort of difficulty being experienced there and is it being addressed? In 20, slide 20, we say mainly attributed to termination of contract with Eskom for the solar water heater project. And then the lady behind the pillar there says Eskom is going to be paying us money back. Now, we've just had a debate in Parliament about Eskom's request for more money. So we've now given them 20 billion rand. Are they going to use that to pay some of the money back? Because it seems like a ridiculous exercise to me if we're lending them money so they can give it back to us. Is this looked at in any way? Do we set off a debt in any way between National Treasury, government departments in this kind of instance? Because I really don't see the reason why they would be expected to put money back while we're just giving them money. Are these things ring fenced? Are they going to different budgets? Is there any correlation between the two? And then lastly, almost lastly, slide 21. The statement is made a higher than projected number of beneficiaries falling off the system in January due to age disqualification. Now, surely we would have known what age the beneficiaries would have been. They didn't suddenly change ages, if you know what I mean, or change expected ages. Was there a lot of fraud going on? Was there a lot of corruption in this particular area? We surely can't have expected there to have been a certain number of beneficiaries who were 16, for example, who suddenly turned out to be 25. How does this come about? Maybe you can just explain it to us. Then the concluding remarks. As I say, I had a difficulty with the budget shortfall. The total increase in voted expenditure of 7.4% and the operational expenditure increase of 7.4%, are those two related? Is the one the other, in fact, is what I'm saying, that 7.4% increase. Thank you, Chair. That's all I have for now.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Just for clarification, I have a few points here. Some of them have been covered. The issue about the budgeted deficit, now, the information is available, I know, but it's not yet, just so that I get informed now. What was it? Because I understand that the deficit was 167.8. Just what is the budgeted deficit? Can I just get that information, please? The issue about transport over expenditure, and that was on slide 16, if I can recall, and my memory serves me good, that was the same reason given last year. I know my colleague here raised it about the eNATIS, that was the reason why I transferred overspend. Now we have the same reason this year. So it's a little concerning to me that explanation is given this year.
the lags, as they are indicated. Now, please help me here. Why I noticed that you've given it an interesting name, you're calling it a lag in expenditure. That's a first for me. I thought it would be under expenditure. Now, if it's a lag, I have a problem with that, because either is it going to be a rollover, or okay, I know you're calling it a lag so that they can still use it, but I would have thought that because they didn't spend it in the financial year that they're supposed to have spent it, surely it's, for me, it would be an under expenditure, and so they're probably just getting some leeway because it's been called a lag. So I just have just an issue with that. It's just a comment. Probably not for explanation, but I just have a concern with what it's been called a lag. Then with the copter lag, which is 4 billion rand withheld, and I see that's why I have a problem with it being called a lag. Now, there's an amount, Chairperson, that has been withheld. Now, we know with copter, municipalities have major problems. So any money that is withheld disadvantages the community in which the money that it was intended for. So the community suffers because of somebody's inability to perform. And so we really need to look at it. It's a serious matter that somebody else other than the community should suffer on it, because it's unfair that municipalities are unable to spend their money. And we know there was a recent issue with regards to that they weren't paying Eskom as well, and so therefore the money that was being paid to municipalities was going directly via them to Eskom. So I'm just, another comment is that it is a concern. And then, now that 4 billion, well, I guess because it's called a lag, it will be paid over sometime in the future, so we just hope that sooner rather than later. Then, one of the lower than expected reasons of lag, the lower than expected disaster relief grants, I then assume that is a saving that can be used elsewhere, or is that also going to be kept for something else? Because surely that disaster that was anticipated, hopefully it's not going to materialize somewhere in the near future. So we're hoping that the saving that could be used somewhere in that area that it was intended. Then, on slide number 8, I don't know what chair, I just want clarification on that statement there. The increase is mainly driven by improved spending on the school infrastructure. Now, surely it shouldn't be an increase, so I'm just starting to understand that. Because the spending is what we expect of them. It's improved, so that's what we're hoping it would be in all cases. But we say that the increase, so surely it shouldn't be an increase because you budgeted for it, and because of the increase in expenditure, you have now met your target. I'm hoping that's what it is meant to be. And then lastly, Honourable Chair, on slide number 13, the 72.9 billion transfers, and they talk about SANRA, and they talk about revenue services, those amounts. Now, those are income-generating agencies as well. So, how do I ask this question? What was the net effect? Maybe that might be a difficult one, but what I'm saying is that, and I don't want you to say yes or no, but nevertheless, those are income-generating, so was that value for money? And maybe, and if so, what was the value for money? That's more or less what I'm trying to establish. Thanks, Honorable Chair.
Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. We welcome the presentation by the Chairman. Maybe we will sound like a track record for the police around the issue of the deficiency. One would want to check what is an acceptable provision, percentage provision for deficit. My colleague asked him in the other way, because the understanding is that over expenditure and deficit is all not allowed.
if there is a provision for a certain percentage, then whether that amount is within that particular provision, if we can get a clarity on that. The other question, there is an indication here that the expenditure on food and services declined by 351 million or 0.6% compared with the other previous years. What is the reason for that? Does it mean that the work that was supposed to be done, it was not done and led to goods not being procured? Maybe if we can get a reason for this decline. The on page 18, there is an indication, I think the police have added 4 billion expenditure, under expenditure, I think it's under expenditure, 4 billion as a result of the people share funds not being in the municipality. Since the municipalities have been complying and taking this amount, what were the reasons for municipalities this time not to perform according to the division of revenue there, and led to them not getting the funds? Maybe it's a new thing because they usually comply with it. Maybe they need an assistance because, as the committee is indicating, if this particular transfer is not going, it affects the service delivery on the ground and people are being affected. Yeah, on page 20, the infrastructure and the law on they said this is attributed to slow appointment of contractors and delays due to late deliveries and bad weather. Can one check whether this particular delay has also have a negative effect to the original price budgeted for? And how long were those delays? Because maybe it can increase the price because of the delays and so on. If it did, how much? And then at the bottom, the energy, the ESCOM, or the chair did ask this question of the ESCOM and the solar. What I wanted to check, is there any escalation cost due to this delay of ESCOM? And now going to the Department of Energy, I think it's indirect grant, and they're going to perform the task in assistance with the treasury. What I want to check is whether is there any escalation, and also when is it going to kick start now, this particular project, if we can get an understanding of it. No, I think this is the last one too.
You're done? Oh, okay. You are done?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any more things? Mm-hmm. Yes, check. I just want a little bit of clarity on slide 6. Second paragraph, where you say 119.9 billion spent on compensation of employees, which represents 52% of expenditure. I do want to understand of what budgeted amount is the 119.9 billion. It can't be 62% of 1.something trillion rand or 960 63.8% of the revenue. So it must be a percent of of a particular amount. Okay, so that's not clear. On slide 8, again, you are saying 15.5 billion rand spent on capital assets, representing an increase of 9.7%. But, and then you mention much of it was spent on water and sanitation and police. But then you go on and add the city project, where you say the increase was driven by improved spending there. But the manner in which you put it there, it looks at the, right at the beginning. It sounds like that 15.5 billion rand was a 9.7% increase on a previous budget, for instance. It's not clear how it links up with education when you're saying the bulk of it was spent on water and sanitation and the police. On slide 10, again, those departments which spend those percentages, that's only what on administration, what one would understand to mean that it was on probably the posts and the compensation links to the posts and other goods and services related to the head office of the department itself. Could you explain that? I don't know whether you have an explanation of why those departments understand to that extent. Thank you. Paul, lastly, you're saying social development, those who the spending declined because some beneficiaries got out of the system due to age. Is it not also due to the corruption cleanup that was done by that department?
Thank you very much, honourable members. Apologies for being late. Slightly late. I'm going to ask my colleagues. I mean, each one of them is responsible for different sectors as per your question. But let me just make a general comment around the deficit and the choices that you made. I think we agreed as government and finally the appropriation was such that we budget for a deficit of around 3.9%. Over the NGF, and that is where we want to be at, and that's where the choice that you made. And secondly, our debt service cost is going to rise, because if you look at our debt trajectory over the NGF, actually up to even 2021 is increasing. We want to be within, we took the choice that we want to be within 45% of GDP, and that's where we want to be. Currently, we are at around 35%. We are still within acceptable norms by any standard, international standard. If you look at Japan, for instance, they'll be at like 200% and so on. And among various emerging markets, we are among the lowest as debt to GDP. And mainly, Chair, I think we also last year, even 2 years ago, took a deliberate choice to say we will remain within a certain expenditure limit. We are not going to be increasing any expenditure, because realizing that our fiscal situation is under strain, the global economy is not performing well. So we again took that decision that we will remain within the expenditure ceiling as per the current framework, and that is continuing even into 2015. And we started this 2 years ago. So where we sit here, I think our we are satisfied that our debt is within manageable limits, and secondly, we are also comfortable that we still remain within the deficit budget that we vote each and every year for the next year and MTF, and we deliberately decided jointly with the legislature that it's going to be around 3.9% up to 17 years. Maybe let me start with my colleague in higher education, in the sector, Julia. She will take later questions as a rate guide. She's on our mind. Thank you.
Thanks, Chief, members. In terms of the issue of the spending on the school infrastructure backlog, we're putting together in that slide, and maybe that's our fault, if we're trying to put too much stuff in one slide, so then we confuse the members. So the amount that is being spent on capital is being compared to the previous year. So if you just look at it on face value, all along we've been talking about 7%, 4%, but here's an increase of 9.7%. And what we are explaining is that increase is coming mainly from better expenditure on the school's backlog grant. The previous year it only spent 1.4 billion. Last year it spent 2.5 billion. So a large portion of that increase is coming from better spending by the school's backlog. Then if you just look at what capital is being spent on, the biggest part of it is in water and sanitation and police. So we're making 3 points in that slide, and maybe that's what is confusing, because that's by far the biggest increase. So all the slides, honourable members, are comparing the previous year, with 2014-15, and that's the reference point for everything. So that was the only one that I had.
Thank you, Chair. There was requested some insight into the regional bulk infrastructure grant and the lag in expenditure in that. Of course, there is a relationship between departments who can come and ask for rollovers and whether funds have been committed that expenditure can roll over into this year. Just in terms of this grant has seen a big increase in allocation. So because of the need on the ground to provide bulk water infrastructure to municipalities, the grant has grown by 22%. And apart from, I think, 2011-12, we expenditure lagged a little bit. This is the first time that we see this magnitude of under expenditure. And I just think we mustn't think that we spent less on water. We just were not able to spend all the money that was allocated, and the allocation itself grew by 22%. The other thing, and I'm not sitting defending the department, but I just think it's important that we understand, is that we did say that the money that must go for regional bulk infrastructure was specifically and exclusively appropriated. So the department would have had to come back to Parliament to shift the money, say, to a water board or somebody who could deliver the project. Unfortunately, the request for that shift only happened after the adjustment budget had already been finalised and we were bringing it to Parliament. So I suspect DG would have said if she was able to, she would have been able to spend this money, but by the time they realised things were going slowly, the adjustment budget had already passed. What we did in 15-16 to try and address this is we removed the specific and exclusive, and it's earmarked, so we will know if the money gets shifted and we'll be able to tell you, but we just released some flexibility into that system. I'm going to try and just address all the members' comments around this. There was also a question whether this was the full amount that was budgeted, was actually allocated. Yes, there was no money held back. So all the money was was available to the department, so there was 100% allocation of this money. I think the important question later was whether this delays, as you indicated, as we told you, it's about implementation plans, contractors not being appointed on time, the materials not arriving on time. It does speak to a capacity issue. And the department 2 years or so ago took the National Water Resource Strategy to cabinet, where the idea of creating a water infrastructure agency was approved by cabinet, and we still think that maybe at an institutional level we will be able to strengthen the work of the department if the agency is created that can do the work that's currently being done by the department, but also by entities such as the TCCA. So there is definitely a need to review capacity, because what we find is we've got a big need on the ground and additional money that goes to the need, but we are not able to spend it. And it's not saying that it's easy, of course, weather has an impact, and some of these pipes have to be imported. All of those things have an impact. And the last question on Ardwick, I think this was a very important, is this has increased the cost of the actual project. Unfortunately, I don't have that level of project information with me, but we can definitely ask the department to do a bit of an analysis on where the total cost of the project now escalated as requested by the member to understand the implications of this. I think those were all the issues around Ardwick. In terms of the PRASA increases, that lies under the transfers, I suppose the short answer is yes, it was budgeted for, but there were also significant increases in the budget. So we budgeted for the PRASA new rolling stock procurement probably about 3 years ago. And that was before the final contract was signed. Obviously, at time of the signing of the contract, you need to consider issues such as the foreign exchange shift, and as you know, the depreciation of the rand did have a significant impact on the country. So the budget was increased, but this is a budgeted expenditure, and it was indicated like that on the budget. So it was not as if the entity spent outside of their budget. I don't think there was anything else on the draw. And then the other big matter that was raised, Honourable Chair, was the e-NATIS issue. And I think one of the members correctly picked up that this is the second time that the Department of Transport has overspent because of the e-NATIS matter. I suppose the short answer to the e-NATIS issue is the original approach towards collection of e-NATIS, well, it is still the approach, is that it is collected from your vehicle licensing payment. There's an additional payment added to the vehicle licensing. I think it's 36 rand, if I remember correctly. Those monies are collected by provinces, and sometimes it's local government as the agency, and it's paid over to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. In the past, what happens is the Road Traffic Management Corporation would pay it over to the department, and they would then pay the contractor. We however ran into some problems where the Road Traffic Management Corporation indicated that they should be entitled to this money and did not pay it over to the department, which, if you can understand, has now led to a surplus in the Road Traffic Management Corporation and a deficit in the department, because the money is going to some place where the contract is not. To try and address this, we have requested the Road Traffic Management Corporation to repay the surplus, and we understand that after the last court case, and the members correct, all of this is on top of a legal issue. After the last court case, the department has now decided to shift the contract for the e-NATIS to the Road Traffic Management Corporation. So So where we are now, it seems that we have now again got the money and the contract in the same place. So we are hoping that this will address it. I just wanted a member raised concerns that this 300, another number in my 376 is due to legal costs and those kind of issues. Of course, there will be legal costs included, but these are actual payments for the contract that was still run at that stage by Casino. So that is the United issue. I wanted just to, if you allow me to speak to the issue of maybe just quickly do Sunroll, because that's a short answer. The member wanted to know if we're getting value for money because we're buying Sunroll and then they get their own money through tolling. The total road network managed by Sunroll is 21,403 kilometers, of which just under 15% is toll roads. However, the total expenditure by Sunroll that includes their own revenue is 25 billion, and you'll see only 11 or just nearly 12 billion has been transferred from the national department. So we contribute towards Sunroll just about half of the revenue to cover about 85% of the network, because as you know, I mean, most of the roads are not solved. So we do actually think that's value for money, in short. The local government issue in terms of COCSA, there were two issues raised, Chair. The one is the underspending in COCSA, the 4 billion, and the second one was the disaster management issue. The underspending in COCSA arises, the Division of Revenue requires departments to pay back unspent conditional grant money. So where local government has received a grant for public transport or for bulk infrastructure or for MEG, and that grant money is not spent in that financial year, the Division of Revenue requires them to pay back the money. What we have found is that this money is not paid back, and the treasury then withholds money from the equitable share in lieu of that money that was supposed to be transferred. So what's really happening here is there was underspending in 13-14 on conditional grants, and the ones that normally underspend are the public transport grant, the urban development and infrastructure grant, and MEG. Those are the three main underspending grants. And then in the following year, the treasury says, well, then we will withhold your equitable share because this money must come back. You can't just keep it. Now, it is true that the citizens of those cities and towns are disadvantaged. However, the place where they are disadvantaged is with the underspending. So the services was not provided. The spending was not done. And instead of leaving loose money in the system now, we take it back and they must come and argue why they are now able to spend that money. Also in terms of COCSA, the disaster relief, it's like a good thing because this is the money that is there for immediate relief in case of disasters, and we try and be accommodating in the budget so that there's no risk of people needing this money, but it's not available, and we are being quite comfortable if we do not have a disaster of that nature that requires this money. The money is then paid back to the National Revenue Fund. And it's quite interesting because a lot of the time we then deal with new disasters in the adjustment budget, and that is a place where we see disaster money going to again. If I just can check if I covered all the issues. There's one more issue, and I think the committee member that spoke about the RVs and the delays, they also wanted to know if we now have delayed the solar water geyser program, if that would increase the cost, and if we have started. I suppose if I start with the second question, then you'll understand I don't have an answer for the first. It has not started. There was a delay in cabinet approving the SIM card was only approved in this financial year. The new approach that the program is taken over by the Department of Energy, and they are still busy finalizing their agreements with the municipalities on how the reporting will take place and what will be expected of the municipalities. And as I said, the Treasury is helping them to set up that memorandum of understanding for the program. I suppose once these have been done and the procurement starts taking place for the new heaters, we will know the price. We are hopeful that the technology improvements can help us get cheaper prices, however, than to say that it will necessarily be more expensive. Chair, if I have missed anything, I'll be happy to come back.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, members. Just two very quick questions. Firstly, so what I've drawn with the households, by far the largest majority of these are social grants, but it also includes housing subsidies. The two of them together are by far the majority. There were a couple of questions around underspending of social grants. If I could just say that as a percentage, because the social grant spending is so high, the amount of underspending is 0.6% of the total. So it's a very small percentage of the total. Just to set a bit of a background here, and I think one of the honourable members raised the issue about what he called the corruption cleanup. So towards the end of 13-14, around 900,000, with the re-registration campaign and the move to biometrics, around 900,000 people were taken off the system. What we found in the 2 to 3 years subsequent to that, though, around 600,000 of those people have come back, for one reason or another. And so what we found here, the general picture in the budget is that, for example, in 13-14 and 14-15, there was an underspending. And we started taking funding away from the budgets. So what we're seeing going forward then is projections of shortfall now as these 600,000 people are coming back. So from next year, 16-17, 17-18, and our projections for 18-19, you're now looking at shortfalls again because of the people coming back, and we have to think about that for budgets going forward. So that's the case partly with the old age grants, with it was underspending, by the way, on the old age grant, the disability grant, and the foster care grant, obviously, was the question. And the disability grant, as well as the people going off and on through the registration campaign, there was also a program to check the validity of people around their disability grants. On the foster care, and the questions there were, I think, very well targeted. Firstly, to get into foster care, people have to go to the High Court, which is a very bad process actually of getting income support. We really actually as a country need a different way of getting some kind of survivor benefit for people who are orphans largely. But because they have to go to the high court, people are quite old by the time they get this grant. And so there's quite a predominance in the older age groups. And effectively social development has not really been budgeting adequately according to the year of age, which is how they should be budgeting. They tend to look at it at a more gross overall coverage proportion, and the two questions related to that are spot on. It was a poor budget prepared by social development for specifically the foster care grant because they didn't check properly the number of people of that age who would finish when they reached 18. So I think that answers that question. Well, it links to that really, is that with the foster care grant, unless you're in higher education, by the time you, as you hit 18, you are effectively aged, not qualified because that's the criteria for getting that grant.
Honourable Chair, there was also, I think, a question on what do we mean when we say what is an operational budget. So an operational budget is all the items in terms of our standard chart of accounts, excluding transfers to entities outside of government or provinces. So your operational budget would be your current payments, which is your compensation of employees, goods and services, payments for capital assets and everything that falls under that. So that's what we mean by an operational budget. And I think there was also a question asking what do we mean when we say, I think 119.9 billion was spent on compensation of employees, to say out of what budget. So that would be out of 192 billion. So if you look on slide 5, you will see that there we say that the total voted expenditure was 625.9 billion, and of that, 428.8 was transferred as subsidies, which is not part of the operational budget. So what remains is 192 billion. So when we say that 119.9 billion of that, or 62%, went towards compensation, is of the 192 billion. Also on slide 7, when we say 40.2 billion spent on goods and services, is again of the 192 billion, because that's the operational budget. There was also a question relating to the operational budget, but specifically to say why is it, what makes up the operational budget for police, and why is there such high spending on the operational budget for police, and that is mainly because of compensation of employees to pay for the salaries and benefits of the 193,000 police officials that are currently appointed by the department. So that's why you've got a bulk of the operational budget going to the Department of Police. And then also relating to police, but more on the capital side, so of the 15.5 billion that was spent on capital assets, as indicated on slide 8, about 3 billion of that expenditure was incurred by the Department of Police, and that is mainly for the building and upgrading of police stations, but also other infrastructure projects of the department, like building the forensic lab, as well as the replacement of obsolete police vehicles. And then there was also a question to say, why do we say a lag in spending and not underspending? And the reason for that is that in some cases, yes, it is understanding, but in other cases, because it's difficult to determine upfront what the true cost that the department is going to incur for some items that we cannot really predict. For example, let's say transfers to households. You never really know upfront what that, especially if we're talking about civil claims against the state. So you don't know what the total cost for that is going to be, so you provide in your budget what is an estimated cost for that, and at the end of the financial year, you find that you've spent less than that, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because it means that government has spent less than what it could have spent on that item. So that's why we then say it's a lag in expenditure, but in some cases, it is underspending. And then I think lastly for me, also on goods and services, to say the 351 million, yes, in some cases it's because of goods and services that departments did not buy, but also in some cases it's due to the more efficient spending of goods and services in line with the instruction 1 of 2013 that was issued by the National Treasury, to say departments should look at reducing spending on goods and services.
There was one question Honourable Member asked about transfer to public corporations and private enterprises. There's a range of subsidies and incentives that government gives. So I think in DCI, the big incentive program for the motor development industry, that would be classified, the expenditure on that would be classified as a transfer to a private organization, and in the public corporations or the telecom, ESCOM, in the public entities of different kinds, mm-hmm. and in households. And households are also not only social grants but and housing subsidies, but also if somebody retires from a department and you have to pay out the leave gratuities, that's also included under transfers to households. So yes, there's a, I suppose, honourable members, we should at some point maybe sit with each other and go through all the terminology, because the words, sometimes we use words and they mean something specific in a budget and appropriations context. They look quite different to when you use it in a normal English language. And it's not that we're trying to obfuscate or hide or sometimes we're really asking. We don't want, as my colleague said this morning, one doesn't want to be brutal. Because I see the members were a bit depressed after the flood change. So we rather came with the softer terminology.
There was, Chairperson, there was a question regarding the relationship between the administration and the budget for the Department of Women. Specifically, administration is said to represent 62% of the operational expenditure of the Department of Women. The Department of Women is new. It was formed out of the Department of Women, Children and People with Disabilities. So that earlier department had a much bigger budget. Two programs from that department moved to social development, namely the program on children and the program on persons with disabilities. And what remained was largely a big part of administration and the program on women, which now constituted the budget for the new Department of Women. So that in part helps us to explain why the administration percentage is so high in relation to the budget for the Department of Women. Now, this is a problem that the department is working on. Obviously, the Department of Women now is developing new programs, and there are going to be other programs which will need additional funding. And if funding is provided, then that ratio is going to decline. But also the department has been debating within itself as to whether there is a need to reprioritize some of the funding in administration to the new programs that it is introducing.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. There was a question also related to admin in the economic services sector, particularly with regards to the DPME. The DPME is quite a significant budget towards administration, which is about 59.3%, and I think it is a worry from our side as well. And my department is actually working on restructuring with the advice from DPSA to ensure that they reduce the administration budget. So that is work in progress as we speak.
Thank you, sir. There was one question on rollovers, and I think Honourable Fit may raise it in the context of the lag. Let me raise the question. I think we've been running a very tight process on rollovers. Obviously, given to us, the authority by the PFMA, where departments have to make applications for rollovers and we approve. And there's obviously some criteria which culminate into what voted in the appropriation, in the record appropriation in October. So, and there is a process, and if I think you corrected, likely to be around capital kind of program that we will allow some rollovers. But we can put up rollovers that are very tight, and it's not obvious that if the department is understanding that there will be a rollover. And just on the question of energy and water affairs, and what are we doing? I think there was a question. Just generally, I think it's an ongoing process which is happening all the time when we have bilateral engagements with various departments from an expenditure management point of view or from a budget management point of view. So some of these conversations come and we pick them up through there because that's the only mechanism we think about it. And that's why the information is captured in our presentation and we know the reason. But lastly, it's also something that's important that I think moving forward, we, you know, I guess the committee has been doing it, where the department has to be held accountable largely to some of the reasons that we picked up on only five departments that were, you know, clearly, you know, sort of outliers here. And then we kind of lifted those reasons up as we know them. But yeah, maybe it is also, you know, in order if the committee would also want to ask the department to come and explain in detail. I mean, we can only do it up to a point. If, for instance, it's because of late appointment of contractors, it therefore tells you that council officer in the department, his or her processes were not properly in place, or there was no procurement problem, if you think about it, in the department that obviously we would not generally have control over, because it's the management, the day-to-day management issue of the department. But we do have bilateral engagements, and we do raise most of the issues that we raise with you today. Okay, yeah.
Sorry, but when the DDG spoke, I just realized that I didn't address. There was also a question around the sanitation side. I spoke about Arbic. But just to indicate that the sanitation program was a function shift in here from the Department of Human Settlements to the Department of Water Affairs, or now Water and Sanitation. And the transfer of those contracts, the department was uncomfortable about how the contracts had been set up at the time, and they insisted that they will initiate that. So the function shift, unfortunately, also played a role in the delay in expenditure on the sanitation program. But not to forget that program in itself has been very problematic in spending since its initiation.
I think you are correct that perhaps the committee in those departments that you are maybe more worried, we should call them. But maybe when we do the first court, because then we'll be able to see what has happened. We'll be able to engage with them in more detail, because I think Treasury can only do so much to explain on their behalf. I mean, there is a matter that concerns me a bit on COPTA, that while from the financial point of view it may be a correct instrument to withhold funds from municipalities that don't comply, but we might find that the consequences thereof is that people in those municipalities no longer receive basic services that they are supposed to. But I think it's something we have to check the comments, because I suspect that these are probably smaller municipalities in the main. I don't think it's your metros, maybe than some of them, but you may find that it's really these municipalities where there is a dire need for services, and that most of them really rely on grant transfer from national government. But I guess something that we will check with COPTA, because by now they may have looked at what is the impact. But if you want to make comment on that, that's fine.
Yes, and also, Chair, we can deliberate this maybe when we do the DORA, because that's where we will be flexible insofar as legislation is concerned, and we will want to apply the law that you put in place and make sure that we stick to the law. Now, if DORA is limiting us in terms of, or even suggesting that we should withhold, then you know, maybe it should start there when we look at DORA of 2016. Because the process has started now to look into that, the kind of conditions that we put in there, and also the kind of relationship that we as a national treasury have with provincial treasuries, because one expects that in provincial treasuries there are divisions that look only at municipalities and assist them, and you find that the management thereof
the relationship between the provincial treasurer and municipalities offices is an issue. And mostly in some of these municipalities where we withhold is when the provincial treasurers are weak in this area of the oversight that they claim from a provincial treasury point of view on municipalities. So it's something that I think we have to strengthen and in our engagements with the provincial treasuries and make sure that we don't ignite that provision in law that says we must stop, because yes, reality is that communities are affected and salaries in some cases will not be paid, especially for those small municipalities where we have to help. So but it's, and also what we are doing, we're not only withholding, but we also have put systems in place and where we support municipalities in their financial management. And that's again a sign that there are issues in municipalities when clearly they are using funds that are appropriated for certain specific purposes and used for others. Then it tells you a basic financial management issue that's still at play there. But I think something that we need to address it both with the provincial treasury from an oversight point of view and also in law, in legislation, in DORA, as to what kind of approach do we want and we want to put in.
Members from your side, and then are we fine for now? Okay. All right, it seems we are okay. We'll see you very soon on the first quarter. We want to deal with what is still fresh. Yeah, and hopefully it will give us a picture of whether there are improvements or some of the things that we had in the last quarter. So let me take this opportunity to thank National Treasury, DTG, and your team for always being there when we need you to come and explain things to us. And as I said, we will discuss the next days for to deal with the first quarter while it's still fresh, so we can see the correct picture. The members of the committee will remain for a bit. There are one or two things we need to deal with, but otherwise, Treasury, you are liberated. Enjoy your freedom in the mother city. Is this a bit cold, though?